What up, my common sense-ocrats? I am your host, Carrington Rowe, and this is the show where we give you the harshest truth, not the sweetest lie. Before we get into it, please make sure to subscribe and listen to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. On Apple Podcasts, please rate this show 5 stars so we can spread the word about this and leave a review. Subscribe to my YouTube and Rumble channel called Common Sense-ocrat, and like and follow on all of the social medias. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Telegram, and join me on commonsenseocrats.locals.com. Hey, Common Sense-ocrats, welcome to my fun Friday episode where I talk about celebrities, world news, inspirational news, whatever happened that you really aren't hearing that much about, or depending on your Facebook algorithms, you hear about it all the time. So pretty much Gossip Fridays, but with my common sense point of view. So in this episode, we talk about more of the Britney drama. Her mom comes in to basically mess up the trial. Her lawyer drops out. Her manager quits. What is going on here? And then we have updates from the Erica Jane, who's from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, the trial with her soon-to-be ex-husband, Tom Girardi. Then we have the one-year anniversary of Naya Rivera's death, which happened, was the anniversary was yesterday, and we have tributes from some of the fellow Glee castmates, and then we have tributes from her mom and sister, and then comedian actress Amy Sedaris calling rabbits assholes. Now that is an interesting headline I read just recently, and we have so much more to talk about, so let's get into it. First headline, Britney Spears' mom, Lynn, intervenes, asks that star be able to hire a lawyer. This is from Page Six. And Britney Spears' mother, Lynn Spears, she filed court documents Wednesday requesting permission for the pop star to hire her own lawyer amid her conservatorship battle. Okay, so Lynn, who's never had a formal role in what she says, you know, Britney's quote-unquote unique conservatorship, but is considered an quote-unquote interested party. And she was asked in a petition obtained by Page Six that the court, quote, listen to the wishes of her daughter, which include allowing the toxic singer to hire her own private legal counsel for the first time in 13 plus years. Britney, 39, had previously been represented by Samuel D. Ingham III, whom a judge appointed as her attorney in February of 2008 on the heels of her public breakdown. Ingham requested to resign from the case in paperwork filed Tuesday. It was a Loeb & Loeb LLP, the law firm that recently brought on to assist him, also asked to step down, leaving Britney without counsel. Now, Lynn called Britney's June 23rd court testimony, quote unquote, a very courageous showing in Wednesday's filing, and praised her daughter for bearing her heart to the court in an impassioned plea to be heard on several requests. Now, she also said Britney is able to care for herself and has been able to do so for the past many years. And it goes on and on. And of course, Lynn went on to request changes going forward, and then that the conservatorship to be terminated, quote unquote, be terminated without her having to endure another evaluation, that she be allowed to get married and have a baby with her boyfriend, Sam Asghari, and that she be able to use her voice to take up for herself, which, yes, I mean, that's what it should be, right? And then during Britney's bombshell testimony, she described the conservatorship, which controls her personal affairs and estate, as abusive. She also claimed she, quote, didn't know, end quote, that she could petition for the arrangement to be solved. She said, she told Los Angeles County Superior Court Judge Brenda Penny, I deserve to have a life. I've worked my whole life. And of course, she keeps going. And then, and this was a very big, devastating, this was just such a blow that her longtime manager, Larry Rudolph, quit on Monday after the court hearing. And he was claiming that his quote unquote professional services are no longer needed. And Britney intends to quote unquote officially retire. So now Britney has been on an indefinite work hiatus since January of 2019. Now she hasn't confirmed Rudolph's claim that she is quitting music. So remember, everybody, the next hearing is on July 14th. Yeah, it's a bummer that her manager quit on her, but yeah, I don't know. I think we'll end up finding out more as the hearings continue. So, or at least until the next hearing continues on July 14th. So stay tuned, everybody. This next headline reads, Spotify staff reportedly quote-unquote outraged by Joe Rogan show. This is from the New York Post. It says, Joe Rogan, the notoriously polarizing host of the Joe Rogan Experience, America's most popular podcast in 2020, is upsetting some Spotify staffers, according to a report. Employee complaints, however, fall on the deaf ears of company executives who paid the 53-year-old comedian more than $100 million to exclusively stream on the platform. Quote, I'm personally bothered by his transphobic comments and am concerned with the way he might spread misinformation, one Spotify employee told or wrote last fall on the internal networking channel on the app Fishbowl, Insider reported Tuesday. A former employee told the publication that during his time at Spotify, the decision to sign a deal with Rogan was the most contentious one the company made. However, another employee told Insider that it's only, quote-unquote, a loud minority of people who are outraged at Rogan. And then it continues saying, while only a subgroup of staff may be upset, their numbers were sufficient to merit a town hall meeting in September to address that they felt Rogan's show was at times anti-transgender, the Wall Street Journal reported in October. A request by some staffers for the Joe Rogan Experience to receive editorial supervision was denied by the company, and Rogan subsequently retweeted a video mocking the employees for being oversensitive. Quote, he is the biggest voice by far that's going to accelerate our business. Getting him on Spotify, and soon exclusively, is going to help bring a lot more audiences onto the platform, and hopefully we can spread that to other programming, an employee told the Wall Street Journal at the time. Quote, in the case of Joe Rogan, a total of 10 meetings has been held with various groups and individuals to hear their respective concerns. And some of them want Rogan removed because of things he said in the past, Spotify CEO Daniel Ek said in a September meeting. And that was Vice reported that at the time. And then, of course, in addition to company staffers, Rogan infuriated fellow Spotify podcast stars, including Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, after telling 21-year-olds not to get the COVID-19 vaccine, a claim on which he subsequently backpedaled. And of course, Spotify did not immediately return the post's request for comment. So, I feel like it's just like this. Well, we don't like what he says, so you have to fire him. And it's like, well, he's technically still making us a lot of money. So, until he gives us a reason to let him go fully, he's very popular. So, sorry, guys. Sorry, guys. You're not going to get your way and get him fired unless he literally does something like really terrible. But as long as we have freedom of speech in this country, then he can say whatever he wants. And it's his show. And he's making a lot of money. And he's making Spotify a lot of money. So they definitely will let him slide for a long while. This next one is from Page Six, and the headline is Naya Rivera's Glee co-stars pay tribute 1 year after her death. And famous friends and fans celebrated the Glee star via social media Thursday, 1 year after her tragic drowning death. This first one is from Heather Morris, who played Rivera's girlfriend Brittany on Glee. Quote, it hasn't gotten easier to write a caption. You are the brightest star in my eyes, Naya Rivera. I am so grateful God laid a hand and brought us together as best friends, mom friends, scene partners, and everything in between. Your legacy lives on in kindness and being that sassy queen in my eyes. I love you forever, BB girl. And for those of you that have seen Glee, I mean, that Britney Spears episode was fire. Anyway, continuing on, and then Jenna Ushkowitz, who played Tina Cohen Chang on the Fox series, put up a heartfelt note on Instagram saying, quote, "Always a light, always with us. My heart is with you and your family today. Love you, Nugs." And then the next one is, "I miss you every single day." And that was from Kevin McHale, who played Artie Abrams on the show. And then Matthew Morrison, who played Will Schuester, posted a photo of Rivera with a heart emoji. And for those of you that don't know the story, Rivera went missing last year on July 8th during a boating trip with her young son, Josie, on the Southern California's Lake Piru, I think that's how you say it. And then, and there was a search for the actress, and it ended on July 13th when her body was found and she was confirmed dead. She was 33 years old. Like, I just, like many others, and including myself, I think everybody was in such a state of shock because it was like, what a crappy year this has been. Really? This needs to happen too? Like, what is going on? But fans posted messages saying, you know, one was saying, "One year without you, and the pain is still the same." Another one is, "Hi, Nene. I have no words to describe how much I miss you. I can't imagine this world without you. I hope you're happy now. I hope you're in a better place. Rest, baby girl. I love you forever." And then, and actually, her mother was on Good Morning America yesterday, and she said, quote, "There are no words to describe what we're going through," end quote. And she was talking about the therapy sessions they're going through, and there's how they're struggling, but they're getting through it. And then while helping to look after, all while helping to look after Rivera's 5-year-old son. And she was reminiscing on when she was on FaceTime, and that was the last time they spoke. And she was saying, quote, "And we had a beautiful conversation. The sun was kissing her face, and she was just beautiful. She had a white, beautiful swimsuit on, and she was glowing," end quote. And she was actually warning her. She said she warned her that on the video, on her FaceTime video, that the water looked like it was getting choppy. But Josie ended up being unharmed. I mean, he was the one that called for help. So, but at this moment, Josie is being cared for by Naya's ex-husband Ryan Dorsey, as well as the actress's 27-year-old sister, Nikayla Rivera. So that, you know, I'm wishing them all love and happiness, and I'm praying for them through this time, as I'm sure everybody else is as well. So, yeah, so I hope, just hope they get through it the best they can, because this is not easy, and especially on top of this year. So, talk about a really rough time. So keep sending them prayers and send them love. They need it. On a happier note here, do you all remember the movie Meet the Parents? Well, in this New York Post headline, the Meet the Parents house hits the market for $2.29 million in Oyster Bay. Now, of course, in a way that makes me feel very poor because I don't have that kind of money. However, this, in case you don't know what Meet the Parents is, and if you don't, you have to know because it is one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. It has Ben Stiller, Robert De Niro, Blythe Danner, Terry Polo, Owen Wilson's in it, okay? And that movie just makes it all wow. So the 7-bedroom home can be yours and for $2.29 million. And it's in Oyster Bay, New York, and it's at 26 Serenite Lane in Muttontown. And it sits on 2.17 acres with lots of entertaining spaces and a sprawling lawn. It was built in 1983 and features an indoor pool with a retractable roof, kitchen, bar, and fireside sitting area. And of course, they have photos all on the New York Post website. And there's lots of wood floors, millwork, and details like a double height entry foyer, a formal dining room with a form and a formal living room with a fireplace, a chef's kitchen with a breakfast nook, and a butler's pantry, while a family game room boasts a built-in bar, stone fireplace, and triple sets of French doors that open to the outdoor space. And there's also another family room with skylights, a home office, and a skylit atrium. And the photos I see, I mean, it looks exactly like the movie. Like, if you go to the picture with the pool, yeah. When you look at it, which I hope you do, because it's also cool to look at, it's literally the same setup as in the movie. It's like they have not changed the decor. It's kind of interesting. So, if you want it, hit up Regina Rogers. She is the listing broker and she works for Douglas Elliman. And then also watch the movie if you haven't seen it, because, like I said, it is hilarious. Now, I'm sure you've all heard by now that Sex and the City will be coming back with a 10-episode reboot titled And Just Like That without Kim Cattrall, which is very disappointing to me because she's the only reason I watched the show. Thank God for the reruns on E! Network, but that's just me. But Sarah Jessica Parker reveals the peak of the show, of the script, on the first day of shooting. And so it says, award-winning actress shared photos of her script for the series' first episode and her shooting day must-haves in preparation for the first day of filming Friday. One of Parker's photos reveals the first episode title, Hello, It's Me. And she said, quote, somewhere on the island of Manhattan, tomorrow always brings enough to share, or always bringing enough to share, sorry. And that's what she wrote. So Parker and her castmates Cynthia Nixon and Kristen Davis have been divulging details about the reboot since the series was announced in December, keeping fans updated by revealing set details and behind-the-scenes photos from table reads. And so Sarah Jessica Parker recently brought the fanatics back in time by sharing the photo of an unearthed Manolo Blahnik sandal that appeared in the show when it was torn up by her ex-boyfriend Aiden's dog. She said, quote, I just cannot get over how much everyone knows and recalls. It astounds and touches me deeply. They have been in archive all these past years. Seeing them again? Well. And then Parker also recently shared photos of a trip she took to the iconic Upper West Side hot dog joint Gray's Papaya, which was the location of a season 5 Sex and the City scene where Carrie celebrates the launch of her book. And then last month, Parker, Nixon, and Davis shared a photo on set following their first table read, sans Kim Cattrall, since she isn't returning as the raunchy Samantha Jones, which, that still makes me sad. But it says here, though, the streaming platform said Tony Award winner Sara Ramirez, 45, will be joining the cast as Che Diaz, a non-binary stand-up comedian who regularly features Carrie on her podcast. The original series costume designer Patricia Field will also not be back for the reboot. But leading men, David Eigenberg, Willie Garson, Evan Handler, and Mario Cantone are all set to return. So that's a bummer that Patricia Field will not be back because wow, she was damn good. She's damn good with her costumes. Like they looked hot. So we'll see what they do. And then Michael Patrick King, who was involved in the original series, is writing and producing for the 10-episode revival. And then the premiere date has not been announced. So I will probably watch the first episode. That is most likely going to happen. But without Samantha Jones, I don't see how they could do another 10 episodes. I after this, I don't know how because she's literally the comedic relief, and she was just the best. So we will miss you, Samantha Jones, but we shall see what they do. But I look forward to it regardless because it's we'll see what they do with it. So Amy Sedaris, who's the actress comedian, I was browsing through headlines to read for you all today, and this one really popped up from the New York Post, headlined Amy Sedaris on her new Boss Baby, Baking, and Why Rabbits Are A-Holes. So immediately I'm gonna really talk about, I'm not gonna read the whole article, but I'm gonna talk about specifically the part where she's talking about why rabbits are assholes. So it says the kooky NYC-based actress, who is beloved for her comedic returns in Strangers with Candy and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, admits she's absolutely under the thumb of her pet rabbit, Tina. Quote, rabbits are very bossy. Actually, rabbits are assholes, Sedaris told the Post. Now, I decided to fill in assholes, even though it has it blank, but just, say the word assholes. It's fine. This month, the 60-year-old stars as another unlikely bossy pants, a feisty cartoon tot named coincidentally Tina Templeton, in The Boss Baby, Family Business, in theaters now. But she said her pet is still the biggest diva of them all. Quote, bunnies are demanding. If they want something, they'll butt you. They'll poke you with their head. They'll stop you in your tracks. I've fallen down before from Tina, tripping me to fall down and doing whatever it takes to get their treat. There's an expression in the rabbit world called, my bunny's my boss. It's true, end quote. And she added that she used to attend the rabbit conventions in New Rochelle, New York, because she's such a fan of the willful creatures. So it's no surprise that she enjoys voicing an imperious baby in her new movie, the sequel to 2017's The Boss Baby, in which the title character is played by Alec Baldwin. So I had to read that for you all, just that part, because I was like, why are rabbits assholes? And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. This next headline from page 6 is the update about the Erica Jane Tom Girardi case. So the headline states, Erica Jane breaks silence on claims Tom Girardi divorce is a sham. Erica Jane for the first time addressed accusations that she tried to hide assets amid her divorce from Tom Girardi. Quote, that lawsuit that says my divorce is a sham so I could hide assets, people want to believe that. The star of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills said in a promo that aired after Wednesday's episode. In another scene, Jane told co-star Lisa Rinna, quote, what's being said is just, I mean, it's insane, end quote. The expensive singer was then seen getting emotional over her legal woes during a conversation with OG housewife Kyle Richards. Quote, I mean, I could have never predicted this effing shit, she told Richards, 52, in the clip, adding, this is the end. A class action lawsuit filed against Jane and Girardi in December 2020 claimed that their divorce was, quote unquote, simply a sham attempt to fraudulently protect their money from those that seek to collect on debts owed by Tom and his law firm, GK. More recently, court documents obtained by Page Six accused the reality star of refusing to turn over her bank records to the bankruptcy trustee investigating Girardi's assets. The trustee also claimed that Jane had used her glam lifestyle to conceal assets in the case, but Jane's lawyers were quick to fire back at the trustee in June, insisting that she, quote, has been and remains willing to cooperate fully, end quote, with the investigation. Jane filed for divorce from Girardi in November 2020 after 21 years of marriage. Quote, after much consideration, I decided to end my marriage to Tom Girardi. This is not a step taken lightly or easily. I have great love and respect for Tom and for our years and the lives we built together, end quote. In the wake of the divorce news and class action lawsuit, Girardi, once considered a powerhouse attorney, lost his license to practice law. Jane, for her part, has since downgraded from her mansion to a rental home amid their legal battles. She was previously married to Thomas Zizzo, with whom she shares an adult son, Tommy Jr. So that's the update for you, and we shall see how this madness continues throughout the weeks. This next headline, it's not so fun, but I feel like it needs to be talked about. So Valerie Bertinelli posts an emotional video to trolls, the internet trolls, criticizing her weight. Now, just listen to this clip because I think it's kind of important.
In a cookie dough emulator, and I made the mistake of reading comments. Someone, Mrs. Moto, decided to point out that I need to lose weight. Because, see, I don't have a scale, or I don't have clothes that I'm trying to put on every day, and I don't have mirrors, so I don't see what's become of me. So I needed that help to let me know that I need to lose weight. You're not being helpful. Because when you see somebody who has put some weight on, my first thought is that person is obviously going through some things. Because if I could lose the weight and keep it off, I would. But since I haven't been successful with that my whole entire life, at 61, I'm still dealing with it. You think I'm not tired of it, lady? Where's the compassion? You think a stupid little comment like you need to lose weight, not f***ing helpful.
Yeah, so Yeah. You know, my episode, use words wisely. Yeah. That's also including like think before you write something, before you comment on something, because yeah, it'll have Valerie Bertinelli, who I happen to respect, and I love her cooking shows, and she's had a quite a life. I mean, that's not cool. I mean, the internet trolls now have just gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. And actually, where the worst people are on TikTok, the trolls on TikTok. I've had a few of those, and they're not fun. So basically, the whole point is just ignore the trolls. Ignore the trolls. And I will be doing an episode about internet trolls, but literally, it'll probably be about 10 minutes long because, yeah, that'll be my shortest episode yet because they're really not worth even 10 minutes of my time, not even 10 seconds of my time. But I just kind of want to talk about an episode about this where it's like, look, sometimes we're in the habit of looking at the comments and what people are saying and all that stuff. So, anyway, but overall, just ignore the trolls. But I will be doing an episode about how some of the things said from the internet trolls prove to maybe who they are as people. So, just saying. And she's right. Like she when she says, that means there must be something going on with you, and you had to let, kind of basically lay it all on me and tell me to lose weight. So, Valerie, you look gorgeous. You look amazing. Ignore the trolls. Ignore the trolls. Because if they're trolling on you, that means you're doing something right. That's what I always say. So, anyway, stop looking at the trolls and keep it moving. That's my advice to you all in this episode and forever. It is time for Feel Good Friday. Here we go. This is the segment where I talk about the good things that are going on in our world right now. So here's my first story. If you follow Good News Movement, or it's at Good News underscore movement on Instagram, then you probably have seen this video. It's the clip of the girl. Now I can't play it for you because she doesn't say anything. So I can't play it in that regard because you can't see it. But if you go on Instagram and you look up, if you go to at Good News underscore movement, they have also really amazing clips on there. But this specific one, it's the clip of this girl named Belle who attended the soccer game, well, or football game, if you're in England, like they are in this video. The player for the English team, Mason Mount, and she's a super fan of his, he gave her his jersey, like actually went into the crowd to give her his jersey. And her reaction made me smile so much, okay? It's like the time I went to the Backstreet Boy concert when I was 10 and a half. I was almost 11, I remember. Or maybe I was already 11. Nope, I was almost 11. Sorry, not that that matters, but I was almost 11. And I was in the floor seats, so you got gifts or you won gifts, right? And I won the autographed camera set. It was just the autographed camera. They signed it and it was great. And of course, I kept thinking I'd get that and meet them. So in my little girl brain, I flipped out and thought, oh my God. But it was that same reaction. I screamed. I jumped up in the air. My sister was working at the arena at the time. And I go up and I'm just like, oh my God, and just flipped out. That was exactly what the little girl Belle did. So if you've ever had that happen to you, then you understand what she was feeling in that moment. I sure did. So good for you, Mason. You did an amazing thing. You gave that little girl a day she will never, ever forget. I wanted to tell you all this quick story that I also found at Good News underscore movement on Instagram. And just the picture is everything. If you see, again, if you go on Instagram and go to that account, you'll find it. I think it was posted, I think, a few days ago. And this guy proposed to his girlfriend with a cat, had the ring on the collar, okay? And the girl's face is priceless. And that's all. I just want to share this really quick one because it was the cutest thing. If you look at the picture, her face is in the biggest shock of her life. Like you can just see it's the biggest shock of her life. And of course, I have so many little puns like, will you meowie me? And it's just perfection. All right, I'll stop it. But I just thought it was a really cute story. This next feel-good story comes from Columbus, Ohio. The headline reads, 3-year-old cancer survivor designs dancing banana socks for charity. So I'm going to play the clip for you from what this cutie has to say.
Central Ohio family who was happy to have their 3-year-old daughter home after spending over 100 nights straight at Nationwide Children's Hospital battling cancer. To help pass along the hours in the hospital, Ryan Ravenstein and her brother AJ designed a pair of socks in a national competition through Resilience Gives. It's a nonprofit that donates a pair of socks to the Children's Hospital with every purchase of the winning sock design. Her family was excited to notify me that Ryan and AJ's Dancing Bananas sock design won the contest. So they will get to see their design turned into actual socks for pediatric patients across the country.
To support that organization and for just all kids going through, pediatric cancer or just any traumatic experience like that,
Ryan said, go bananas.
A lot. Go bananas.
She's so cute. To learn more about the charity and Ryan and AJ's winning sock design, you can find the details in this story on our website, nbc4i.com.
Take a listen to this next story. It is such an awesome story. It's about a guy who had walked 17 miles for work. He was surprised with a bike from a group of people. And just listen to this story. It's so great.
The last month or so, walking 8 miles to and from work each and every day, and this takes about 2.5 hours to do this, of course, in the Oklahoma heat, and we know how bad that can be for us sometimes. So now he'll be able to cut that time down significantly to about 30 minutes.
The saying is, nothing happens by chance. And if you ask Michael Lynn, he'll agree.
I think it was destiny. I think we're meant to meet.
Michael happened to be running errands one day and saw this man, Dante Franklin, walking and walking.
I was going down 12th Street, and I seen him. And I was thinking, it's a hot day. One thing led to another, and I'm finding out he's taking 27th Street, goes into 104th all the way out to 44. And I just couldn't believe it.
So he offered Dante a ride to work. And when he learned more of Dante's circumstances, he made a Facebook post about it.
I'll be honest with you, I probably wouldn't walk 8 miles to a job.
One woman who saw his post is Carrie Collins. She happens to be the administrator of a biker charity group, MRBO, My Riding Buddies Oklahoma, and Bikers for Elves. Her husband is the founder.
Anytime I see something posted concerning anybody anywhere in Oklahoma, I immediately jump in, and we do whatever we can as a group. It just touched me that this young man is only 20 years old and is walking to 2 different jobs with nothing in the heat. It opened my heart because kids his age don't do that.
So before his shift, the group decided to pay Dante a visit, to his surprise, gifting him with a brand new bike.
It was a blessing, really. I really appreciate it and thankful for it.
Seeing Dante with the bike now, what does that mean to you?
It's amazing.
And as for Michael, he tells me he and Dante have stayed in touch since the day he gave him a ride, and he hopes it remains that way.
As long as he wants to, I want to keep him in my life, and I want to be in his life. This is what I told him. If the Lord opens the door for you, walk through it. Walk through it. And I think it's open for him. And, the rest will be up to him.
And there are some folks trying to help Dante get a car. They've even started a GoFundMe page for him, and we have that link to it on our website. But he doesn't have his license yet, so in the meantime, he'll have to continue to use that bike to get around. Mecca, back to you.
Yeah, what an inspiring story. I think more people should be doing this, and it's really good stuff. So I hope Dante gets his license very soon so he can get that car. Well, everybody, that wraps up my Friday show. And as always, I end with a quote. Well, today's is more like advice and what you need to do. But anyway, work on being in love with the person in the mirror who has been through so much but is still standing. Thank you very much for listening, everybody, and look out for tomorrow's Satire Day. Until next time, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you liked what you heard, don't forget to subscribe and rate 5 stars in the Apple Podcasts. I need to spread the word as much as possible about this podcast, and you all are such a big help for that. So thank you so much, and I look forward to you all to listen to the next episode.